Because that's our certainty in His Word, and that's our security in His person. And so you have everything that you want. My God shall supply all your needs. All your needs. He didn't say wants. All your needs according to His riches and glory. The problem is we usually want our wants met. And God is always careful. He knows what you want even before you ask. So you don't have to tell Him what you want. So we do it because we thought there's a good work there and God will surely answer me. No, He's not obligated to do anything. As a matter of fact, that everyone in the world could perish just like that. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. So there's no hope for Jewish people, for Christians, for anybody. Unless you go all the way with Jesus. That's a different thing. Because only the righteous, they're the ones that will inherit the earth. The meek shall inherit the end of the earth. So the earth it belongs to us. And it's been created for our pleasure and for His. And He is pleased, and He always does what He wants to do. He's never failed. The devil has never won. He's never failed, and the devil has never won. So in these wake-up call days, it's a good thing. And we thank God for the things we suffer. Maybe you probably didn't hear what I just said. Jesus learned obedience through what He suffered. Well, good for Jesus. No, because now it's our turn to take up our cross daily and follow Him. So this is an exciting time. Could I see a hallelujah?
Hallelujah!
Yeah, because the best is yet to come. You haven't even seen the best. So Jesus knows that these days are wonderful. And He's aware of everything. He knows everything. And by the way, the wicked will definitely not go unpunished.
Yahoo!
Right. So that's in the scripture. The wicked will never go unpunished. And the righteous will live forever and ever. So we have the ultimate picture in mind that ultimately will be in heaven with Jesus and so on. And that's true. However, we're probably not interested in the ultimate today. What we want to know is right now. How many of them want it? No, right now. And so I want to preach about that. I want to talk about that. Is that now is the time for us to grow up. It's not the time for us to, pursue the American dream and so on and so forth. That's what we all want, and that's fine. And God promises to do all that. God will not leave you unrighteous or unfruitful. Not. He's always supplied for us. So now a wrinkle comes up, and it's the will of God. The COVID, all of the bad things that are happening, Biden being elected now, and so on and so forth. God is not even worried about that at all. He's only looking at His church. The only thing that He has on earth that is His inheritance is us. And I don't mean just us in this church, but throughout the world. And so all the nations of the world, their attention is all on America right now. And they can't believe that America, that has all those noble words in the Constitution, they can't believe that what is happening is what is happening. And so the world is... I even heard this a Muslim from Baluchistan. I heard him on the television, and he said, this is about a month ago, he said, America has always been for justice and liberty and peace. What's happening? And he was concerned. He was clearly concerned, See, he was happy about that. That was our background. But he says, right now, we don't know what's happening. And he was nervous. He's Muslim. He was nervous. And how many know that Muslims have signed up? And I think four of them already are on Israel's side and so on and so forth. So It's a new day of peace. How many know that what the president did in the first 4 years was tough on him? But I expected him to, you know, look sad or something or unhappy. But he was always smiling and he was always welcoming and thanking people. And he didn't worry. And people would say, well, a lot of people don't like you and the Republican Party as well as. And there's a conspiracy going on between Republicans that say never Trump, all that kind of stuff, and also the Democrats. So they conspired together and they won. So it appears. Not true. Not true. And he's made many promises and he's kept all the promises he could make in those 4 years that he was here. Now, I don't want to talk about politics. I want to talk about God's agenda right now is it's the church. He's not really interested in the bad guys repenting or getting caught. What he's interested in is church needs to be hot. Zestos, the zeal of the Lord of hosts, will do it. And he doesn't want any help on this one. So he's not looking for Trump to do it, even though Trump might be. He's not looking for Trump. He's looking for himself because he always operates on his own. He's never, ever wanted to work with anyone as a partner or something like that. And Moshel Ba'adam Tzadik in the Hebrew, Moshel Yira Elohim. He that rules over men, King David said upon his deathbed. He was about to die. He didn't die exactly then. But these are the last words that are recorded. And this is in Samuel, 2 Samuel 23:3. And it says, he who rules over men must rule justly. Tzaddik. T-S-A-D-D-I-Q. If you rule justly, it defines it in the second part where it says, Moshel Yireh Elohim. Say that. Moshel Yireh Elohim. Ruling in the fear of God. What's missing today? Fear of God. Even in the churches. Even the churches are lukewarm. Kliaros. They're lukewarm today. They're not zestos. But our church is, right? Yeah, we are. But it doesn't yet appear what we shall be, what we know that when he appeareth, we shall see him as he is, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. When he comes back, he'll have vengeance for the wicked. And this is the ultimate. He'll have vengeance for the wicked and deliverance for the righteous. So that's taken care of. But today is the issue. What does he do today? And America, I used to think America would be the walls for Jerusalem and the bulwarks for that city. In other words, Israel's dependent upon us to defend them and on us to strengthen them. But now, what are they going to say? I even heard Netanyahu say the other day, and he had panic on his eyes. It's like, you know, Mr. Biden and so on and so forth. He's like, you know, hey, don't forget us in Israel and so on. Well, Biden is not righteous. I don't know how much truth will come out, but the bad guys are really bad. Now, I'm going to say something you don't know. Witchcraft and Satan worship is so big in Washington, D.C., you cannot believe it. Now, did you just hear what I said? In other words, they're not the minority, they are the majority. And so a lot of things that will come out in the news eventually, you'll be shocked at. But what if, things turn out differently than the bad guys planned? What if God, because a lot of times the Girgashites and the Amalekites and so on, they'd get together and they'd decide to team up and then destroy us, just like the Democrats and the Republicans. And all the billions that they have now is not only for Soros, it's from all of the other deep state people. But these people are not just Democrats. They actually happen to be part of the Republican Party as well. And they operate in the dark. They operate because they are dark. And if you knew the truth, which you don't know, don't worry about them. God has everything in order. Everything. Nothing can happen without God's approval. Even you couldn't do away with Job unless the devil had to come to God and say, well, you have a hedge around him, just remove that, and boom, he'll curse you to your face. He said, okay, he's yours. Just go do whatever you want. Only a proviso. Don't take his life. That's all. Just don't take his life. Because he's a perfect man. So God had this confidence that this nation could be perfect. We could be a perfect nation. It's in the Bible. We could be a perfect nation that is the walls, the defense of Israel. And also, because God is still interested in Israel. I don't know if you know that. God is really interested in Israel. The name used to be Jim. That used to be the guy's name. Yaakov. Y-A-K-O-V. But then, remember he stole his birthright and he stole the blessings and from his brother, Esau. And so Esau may well be the Antichrist. Did you hear what I just said? Or, probably more likely, he won't be the Antichrist, but he'll team up with the Antichrist. Two people teaming up. And he might be the false prophet, because Muhammad calls himself the prophet. The prophet, Allah. And I've heard one of the candidates that ran for president, and he said, Inshallah. That is a Muslim term, if God wills. And somebody else said they heard him say it twice. I heard it. Inshallah. But he spoke so, because remember in that first debate, Trump kind of overpowered him. And he was constantly talking. He didn't want to wait for, you know, them to, you know, shortchange him. So he just kept talking and telling what he wanted and what he wanted. So he talked over. But then if you listen carefully, and by the way, they've shown it a few times. If you listen carefully, you can see him or hear him. Inshallah, if God wills. Now, I thought he was Roman Catholic, but now he's also Muslim. But you see, these people have different faces. And so they're all mammonists, by the way. They're all the elite who control America. And that's why you don't have the freedoms that is in the document, which we still have. We've never lost them. And so even though you think you have, it's just some trouble. Some trouble has arisen. And all you got to do when the trouble comes out, go something like this. Help! Help God! This is your people. Not ours, but your people. We are your people. We the people. And if you cry out to God, he always hears. And so there's a curse. But the curse was done by Jesus Christ 2,000 some years ago. He already took care of it. So you're not cursed. You're not cursed. So everything God has said to you, you need to say to yourself. Thanks be unto God, I'm not in any fear. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not anxious or nervous or stressed. Or diseased, or whatever. So a lot of people dying, but people die every year anyway. So it isn't like it doesn't matter. It does matter. However, God knows about it. And so you're not the one in charge. God is. So God created this world. So that's my prolegomena, my beginning. And just saying, I wanted to give you that background before I read the scriptures. Now, I want to read... the first scripture I'd like to read is in Romans, and keep your finger in Revelation, because I'm going to give this as a second prolegomena, an invitation then for you to read it. So Romans 3. Here it is, 3. What then is the superiority of the Jew? Or what profit of circumcision? Much by every way. For first, indeed, that they were entrusted with the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief not nullify the faith of God? Question. Let it not be. Let it never be. But let God be true and every man a liar. Could you say amen? Even as it has been written that you should be justified in your words and will overcome in your being judged by God. But if our unrighteousness commends the righteousness of God, what shall we say as Christians? Is God unrighteous in laying on the wrath? I speak according to man. I'm just talking like a man. Let it not be. Otherwise, how will God judge the world? For if in my lie the truth of God abounds to his glory, why am I yet also judged as a sinner? And not as we are wrongly accused and as some reports say of us, let us do bad things so that the good things may come, the judgment of whom is just. They will be judged. What then? Do we excel? Not at all. For we before charged both Jews and Greeks all to be under sin, both, according as it has been written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Are you all aware of that? That even though you're Christians, you still sin. Are you aware of that? Because even if you don't know about it, it still happens. People are selfish. They're totally into themselves. They're proud, and they're self-confident often. And they often go to church and think, I'm okay. No, you're not. Even though you have chair 4, that Jesus forgave all your sins, he didn't remove them. And so you need discipline. You need to grow up. You need to, every child needs this. You have to discipline children, otherwise they'll grow up and be wicked like people in charge today. And those people in charge have been doing this not just the last, 2 years or 4 years or 15 years or 20 years or 30 or 40 or 50. Even it goes all the way back to the time of the KKK. Did you hear what I said? In fact, it even goes further. And so there's always been a split in America between the parties. And we used to agree on the goal, but we didn't agree on the how you get there on the goal. So the how, but not the what. But today, it's the opposite. They're clean open, just like chair 1. They're clean open about their sin. They don't even hide it. They burn down buildings. They do everything they want to do. And nobody ever says anything in all of the other media outlets. And the big tech companies are in on it, and everybody's in on it. And when you understand what they're in on, don't be surprised. They're just wicked people. You know what? They don't have a pastor like me. I'm saying that as a joke. They don't have anyone to teach them. And so they grew because they were ignorant of the gospel of the kingdom of God. Religion is the key to this world. Not politics. Not economics. Not society. None of that. It's only religion. If you get the religion right, you get everything right. If you get religion wrong, you get everything wrong. So the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century was God restoring the righteous on the earth. Because the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Not by good works. Not by good works. Not by good works. Are you hearing me? because we've had over 1,000 years that people were trying to do good works. Or it's a fundamental religious dogma in those for 1,000 years were able to force people to say, you need to do good works to get God from being angry at you. So if you do the good works, then God is pleased. So many people today, it's still happening today, just like the Jews happening today. They're still trying to do good works. So the whole idea came from the Jewish religion, do good works, otherwise something bad will happen to you, and then he won't bless you. That's a lie. God has always been happy with everybody that he ever created. I'll say that again. God has always been happy with anyone that was created into this world. Maybe they're Satan worship. He loves them. Maybe they hate God. He loves them. He has never been an angry judge. He's always been a loving father. That is his nature. And God, who was in Christ, reconciled the world. He didn't wait for us to do something and then he rewarded us for a merit or from a wage. No, no, no. He's never paid a wage to anybody. So God doesn't need this world to survive. He doesn't need people doing good works for him, cooperating with him, you know, being his partner. He doesn't even need the Virgin Mary to do that. It's not in the scripture. So you don't have to do anything. Faith is a gift. It's a gift. It doesn't cost anything for a gift. So everything God has ever done, ever, 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 was a gift of God to people that didn't deserve the gift. Everybody. There's not an exception. So all have sinned, it says in the Bible. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, right? So if all have sinned, and it's just like Christmas time, you get a gift, and nobody says, well, how much did this cost? I'll try to pay it back. And, no, it's a gift. A free gift. It's a free. You don't have to pay for it. Because there's no money in heaven. Not. No taxes in heaven. No dust in heaven. All the stuff we're used to, it won't be there. No rust and all kind of stuff. So heaven will be kind of different than here. And so you don't want to stay here too long. Because it's just temporal. And temporal is not the same as eternal. Everlasting life. It never stops. No beginning, no end. Because we will be priests, kings in the world to come. And you will, first of all, be the priest, which shows your love for God. Thank you, God. Because all you can do for someone that has everything, is everything, and knows everything, you can't do anything for them because they have everything because they just speak a word and then there it is. So God doesn't want your love. Give all your love to your neighbor as yourself. So you can't have any inside hostility toward your neighbor, and you need to love your neighbor as yourself. So if I want my neighbor to behave with me, I should start it. And so we're the ones that start it, and we learn to love one another. How many know it's hard to love people in a family, let alone in society? But we're a social, you know, people, and we all gather to worship Jesus. Here we are. And if you thought that God has allowed bad things to happen, he did. But you had a wrong picture of God. Since he's a loving father, whenever he shows you a sin, he's not saying, fix it. Change. Not. Never. Not God has ever, never said that. And I taught you all last year about the fact that Moses never taught the law to Israel. The law of God is temporal. It's just temporal. It's just temporal. It's not in heaven. Everybody in heaven is there happily. Everybody there is enjoying themselves. And they want to be a slave of God and do whatever he says. And you can actually start with kind of a head start program right here. We can have a head start program and we could already start loving people now. Danny does it. You know, Larry does it. Jeff does it and so on and so forth. So we have a lot of people in this church that they don't want to wait till the end. They'll just start loving now. You don't have to be inspired or anything like that. Just it's hard, it'll kill you, but just do it. Just do it. Just say to someone that you meet, I love you. You can just say it. You don't have to kiss them or anything. You just say it. It's such a joy to see you today in church. Why? It's because it's the Lord's Day. And we do that because Jesus resurrected on this day. But also, that was the day the world was created. But also, everything God has ever done was usually done on the day after the Jewish Saturday, yesterday. So, because of that, the world actually was created at the evening last night. The evening. It was done that way. And so the priesthood lit the way. Everything God has ever done is that way. Because he's a God that you can depend upon. That's why the word is a certainty. Because God can't lie. Every man can lie, but God can't. Every man can lie, but God can't. He loves sinners who repent. That is, you changed your mind and rejoiced because God said, I'll be first, I'll love you, I put aside all my wrath, all my vengeance for the wicked later, but not for you. I want to start you today. So we're part of the Head Start program, right? And so now he's teaching us now how to go all the way with Jesus. It's a process, not a one-time event, born again. Now, born again does not get you to heaven. Born again does not get you to heaven. It's only a beginning. And we're little children, then they're young men and women, then mature mothers and fathers and so on. So it's a process. It takes a long time to grow up a child. You know, they could be 40 or 50 or 20 or whatever. It doesn't matter what they are. It takes a long time. And so God is doing the same thing. He's just, we're following him. We think maybe he's following. No, he's not following us. We're following him. And so when he does love you, and then you have an experience of his love, you don't just need the word. Now you need that word empowering you by the Holy Spirit. And God comes and visits you, and you have testimonies. Because you were tested, but you got A+. And you got A+ because God would never give you any assignment unless he knew you couldn't do it. Right? So God always gives you something that's overwhelming. But he does that by what it sounds like is, I command you to obey. That's what Jewish people think. That's what Catholic people think. That's what most, even Protestants, they think that too. They think, I did a good work yesterday. I think that makes up for something or other. You never got a good work. Never, 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 never. Only God is good. No one else is good but God, Jesus said. No one else is good but God. If God is the only one that's good, you cannot be good. You cannot save yourself. You cannot stop sinning. You cannot do anything. You are a nothing. Isn't that exciting? That should be laughter rather than, like, be a nothing. Well, he said it. I didn't say it. I just simply said that apart from me, you can do nothing. So you're all nothings. So hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
We're a nothing. You know, the beauty of being a nothing is you can't go any further down. You can't fail because God is everything, but he only works if you stop, if you rest, enter into his rest. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Amen? That's God. And he's trading then rest, which you didn't pay for, is trading that for him doing it all. And he does everything. So that's why I don't think God right now is waiting for Trump to come back in 2024 or whatever. He's not waiting for anything. He's not waiting for the midterms. He's not waiting. I know it's only so many months away. But he's not. I think he wants to do this and get all the glory. I think God wants all the glory. Why? Because he's always had all the glory. It's just that people don't thank him, praise him, adore him, worship him with all your heart, soul, and strength. But God hath done that for you, but he did it for you. He did it as though he were you. What you ought to have done, he did it for you, even before the foundation of the world. So you lived a perfect life before the foundation of the world in God's mind, in God's heart. But now, afterward, we entered into life, people began to sin all over the place. Adam and Eve started off really bad. They were the first people, and they messed up right away. You remember they had fig leaves on them? Because they were naked. So God said, well, remember he said in the garden, he came into the garden at the cool of the day. He said to him, where are you? He knew exactly where they were. So why would he say, where are you? What he meant was, where are you in relationship to me? Because I know what you've just done. And so I want you to confess that sin right now. But he didn't really. He knew that they weren't. He knew that it was fixed. It's like jumping into the Grand Canyon and then jumping out again. I mean, it's a little deeper than a ditch. And so if you can go down, but you can't get back. You can begin to be married, but you can't get out of it without violating your conscience. How many know that God, and you know, in this church, unlike the Dallas church, in this church, we don't have, for the last 50 years, we haven't had divorces out of people that I have counseled. Because if I were to counsel, you, I would say, now, you're marrying a sinner. So Teresa's a sinner.
Yes, she is.
It's good. And so everybody, and religion, being married actually doesn't work. God designed it so it doesn't work without God. But with God, all things are possible. With God, it's different. And so once you get married, stay. And if you don't, it's forgivable. If you don't, it's forgivable. Because God always wants to get hope. The back door is always open, even though the front door might be, you know, double locked and so on and so forth. The back door is always open for God. You can return to him at any time you want to. Just say, hey, God, I know I've goofed up the last couple days, but have mercy upon me. And you're just like King David. He goofed up over and over again. If you should mark iniquities, who can stand in your presence? There's none of us. And so he did all kinds of bad stuff and so on. But God loved him because he always loves sinners because that's all he has. That's all he has. So he designed it so that you'd be mad at each other and sin and, you know, be angry and depressed or sick or whatever. So, praise God, it doesn't happen to our family, right? Doesn't happen here, right? This is permanent, right? Walter, is this permanent? Yeah, permanent. Oh, yeah. Permanent. Okay. All we have to do is kill you and then everything's okay. That's all. So it's nothing because you are a nothing, so we're just saying who you are. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Because you are nothing, have nothing, know nothing. Everything you have to learn from God, and Jesus suffered, and that's how he learned obedience. He learned obedience through what he suffered. So we have to suffer, right? Isn't the world worth it? Aren't Muslims worth it? Aren't witchcraft people worth it? Isn't everyone you meet starving to know God? They were actually, when they were conceived in the womb, God wrote on your heart, I'll be your judge. This one is mine. So no one else can be your judge except God himself. Almighty God is always the judge. And Jesus, when he rose from the dead, he said these words, all authority in heaven and on earth, talking about the natural heavens and the natural earth, has been given to me. So God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. He was right there, and what he did was he paid the dowry for you, marrying his son, and everything you were supposed to do, he did it anyway, so that you didn't have to do it. So what you ought to have done, Jesus did it for you, and in you, and then through you. And so then, we are able to love each other. And if you think, I don't know if I'll ever be as spiritual as so-and-so, you're no different than anybody else. Everybody's always the same. We're in the same boat. Everybody here is still sinning. That's not even a doubt in my mind that everybody here sins regularly. Probably two times, maybe a day. And some even four. And some people are just repeaters. They're just, the recidivism is not working. You know, they go in and go out and then come back again and so on. And so we just can't work it. Why? Don't worry about it. Just be your age. Whatever age you are, be what you are. God loves you just the way you are. And then the do-over, God will do. Whatever you need, let God do it. He's perfect. Did you know he has no sin in him? The Son has no sin. The Holy Spirit has no sin. Perfect sacrifice. Everything they do is perfect. And so they're a boule. They're a little bitty group up in heaven, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's God. One God. There's only one God. But the verb is singular. But Elohim is plural. So those three are one. Unlike any other religion. Name any other religion. They have many gods, all kinds of gods. But they hate each other. They despise each other. They trick each other. They deceive each other. They're like people. Why? Because they're man-made. So all the religions of this world, all of them. Now, are you ready for me to now say what I really want to say? Is what it said right here is what's in 17. So Revelation 17. So, here's the 17th chapter. And after these things, I'm sorry. Okay, and one of the seven angels, do we have that? I think the scripture could go on the screen. Could you put the screen down and let the scripture come in? I think it's 18:4. Anyway, and one of the seven angels having the seven bowls came and spoke with me, John, the Revelator, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot sitting on the many waters. That means people. It's not international. With whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, porneia. And the ones inhabiting the earth became drunk from the wine of her fornication, porneia. And he carried me away into a desert by the Holy Spirit, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, Therion. So this scarlet beast is a red beast. Remember, the devil is often called the red dragon. Satan, devil, has a lot of names. And so the lawless one and all these names. He got a lot of names. But he's opposite to God. And so God can, you know, blow him away if he wanted to, but he left him. He left the devil right here to pick up all the people that are weak, you know, that don't have enough faith or whatever, or that think they can do good works. He just left them there. And he's trying to collect you right now, like the bad guys are trying to collect America. They don't want America to be America. They don't like that. Because we're the product of the Reformation that came. What? Good news for the Jewish people. Good news for the Catholic people. Good news, because we're the only ones that have the truth that will set them free. Are you understanding what I'm saying? The only reason we were saved is so we could then save everybody else by living a life, not just talking about it, but actually living a life that's this process. 4, 5, 6, until you're 7, ready to marry Jesus without spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. How many believe that someday you'll be that bride ultimately? But it could start today. The bride hath made herself ready. And so, because that's the case, when you do it that way, you don't get any credit. Because the bride never made herself ready. It's just Jesus in you, working out his purposes. And when he's working out his part, that's a relationship, not religion. There's no religion here. Religion isn't true unless it's a relationship. Then it's true. So then, when you do the good work, and men see your good works, they'll glorify your Father in heaven. They won't glorify you. They know you didn't do it. I know you. You didn't do that. You must be a son of the living God. You are from an outer space person. You know, I don't even know you. I know everything about you, but I know this is not like you. You've become another person, a new man in Christ. How many are new men in Christ? I want everyone to raise whether it's true or false. Just raise your hand. I'm a new man in Christ. Why? Because you're hearing the gospel and it's telling you the truth that will set you free forever and ever and ever. So you're not part of this world. This world, everything that happens to this world is not us. Everything that happens in this world is God blessing you, and he'll continue to bless you every day. Every day. Take up your cross daily and follow me. I took up my cross. That's enough to give you forgiveness, and now you're a new creation. But you're not a new creation. You're only a foundation for the new creation. Then I'm going to build this building on top of that foundation so that you can do loving your neighbor as yourself from that house of God. So we are this building. This building is not a building. It's something man-made. We just use it. We just use it. We don't own it. It's just using. And the government doesn't understand it. Who cares whether they understand it or not? We're just doing what Jesus said. So we don't need to explain ourselves to anybody. We don't need to. We're not required to. But we're free. If the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed. Not only indeed, meaning I did something, I didn't do something. So why then does God judge you for your deeds? Because he did them. And he always knows what he did. When he sees you, he doesn't have to say, now did you do this? He doesn't have to say that because he did whatever you needed to do. That's glorious. So if he did it and he remembers what he did because he has a bigger brain than we do, he can remember. I did that. I remember that vividly. And so Jesus being the judge, he remembers when he did that. And so you're not coming to him as a person that did good works. You're coming to him that you didn't do anything. You did nothing. Because you are nothing. And you have nothing. So God has to be the one that gives you the gift that changes you into something. A son of the living God. Not a child. Not a child. Chair 4. But you are now the sons of God. You'll all be a son of God, just like us men will all be a bride of Christ. Because we're submitted to the one that did it all. And we know that only God makes you happy. And I'm happy all the time. Danny, I think you're happy all the time. Larry, I think you're happy all the time. Jeff? I think you're happy all the time and so on. David and so on. All of us are happy all the time because we hear the words that say you're happy all the time. That's all I can say is happy all the time because I'm happy all the time. But I don't know how it works and I don't really care. I'm not even curious. All I know is whatever God says, I believe it. It settles everything. And I just use scripture all the time. Why? I don't want to say anything else, even funny. I don't care about it. I only have one God, this one, right here. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So this one says, 17th chapter, listen to it. And he carried me away into a desert by the Spirit, and I saw a woman, the whore, sitting on a scarlet beast, Therion, filled with the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was clothed in purple, royal, and scarlet, blood, and being gilded with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand. So this woman who sits on the beast with seven heads and 10 horns. That's easy, isn't it? It's exactly easy, isn't it? Egypt, that's the first head. Second head, Assyria. The third head, Babylon. The fourth head, Persia. Fifth head, Greece. And the one you're married to, God later says, you're not married to, Rome. So we'll never be married to Rome. Did you understand what I just said? So then that would be 666. Ancient Rome, which crucified Jesus under the Caesars. Holy Rome, which is the Roman Catholic under the papacy church. And then New World Order Rome, which is us today. It's right now. So a New World Order, if you listen to George Bush Sr., he said years ago, this is a part of a New World Order. He announced it because he knows there's something to not be America. America won't be America. So these people have planned over and over again. In the 19th century, everything started when Texas was a country for 9 years, 1836, and it became a republic of laws. And I think it was a gift of God, a work of God to do it. Because we had criminals, we had sinners, we had people who had divorced upstairs in America and so on and so forth. When you came to Texas, you're free. As soon as you stepped foot over the whatever river you wanted to get over, you're free. Because they actually didn't just have the words, they became the buckle on the belt for religion. So you can come here and be anything you want to be. Hallelujah! So if you think this is an accident, no, no. I know why they were Christian, because in 18 minutes they slaughtered the enemy. Slaughtered them. And Santa Anna had to run out of his tent in a kind of like a panic, because he lost 600 in just in 2 minutes. They captured the 12-pounder. He only had 2 threes, so there was 6-pounders, and they're nothing compared to a 12-pounder. Powerful, could blow them off the face of the earth. 1,500 troops, we only had 783 troops. But in 2 weeks later, we were at San Jacinto, and so 182 or 83, depending on which account you read, they were burned in the Alamo on the 6th of March, 1836. But just 4 days earlier, on the 2nd of March, we wrote this thing. The Mexican government, under Santa Anna, the Mexican government denies to us the right to worship Almighty God according to the dictates of our own private, individual conscience. You see what I just said? Because of that, they signed their name to that and said, these are the delegates that were chosen from all over Texas. And therefore, these people are the ones that believe in God and liberty, not God and arbitrary will. But Santa Anna wanted to force Catholic religion, not because of Catholic, but because he wanted to force it by government. If you join church and state, you cannot join things that God has forever separated. If God separates it, you can't join them. If God joins them, you can't separate, like marriage. If God joins two people together, Walter, your wife, Teresa, he joined you together and you have children. That's a powerful thing right there. And all of them are unique. They're not you, but they're your children. But they're part of your fruit. It's part of the what God wants to do is fill the whole earth. He's not against the earth like we'll run out of resources or whatever. No, he made the earth. Anyone can live on this earth. Even if you're from Guatemala. And they're coming in by the droves because they want to get here, but they have to go through Mexico. And so always there are problems in the world. Isn't that amazing? You set out to do something and you know, I can do that. But in a few minutes you're facing a brick wall and you can't go any further. And the life is that way. God designed it that way so that you'd have to call out to God because he wants a relationship with you where he does everything and you do nothing. And if you admit that every day, you humble yourself. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, four things, then I will hear from heaven and forgive your sins, not the bad guys, your sins and heal your land. You want to heal America? It's easy. Piece of cake. All you got to do is humble yourself. But you can't. You cannot do that. Actually, God does that. Because you're in a relationship with a living God who loves you with an unconditional love. And he's the same yesterday and today and forever. He'll never change. And he's not a respecter of persons. Doesn't care what your title is, what your family background is. Doesn't care about anything. He is a God that loves you because he made you in the first place. And I don't care what your life has been. It doesn't care if it's bad or good. God loves everybody. That is not in the world. That's why America must survive. Will we? Absolutely. Is the present problem just a problem? And all you got to do is cry out, God, help! You can say it softly, God, help. Or you can just sigh. He hears that. He sees that. He knows that. So all you got to do is nothing. And we're very good at nothing. We're very good. And why is Texas now the only state in the whole union that actually has all kinds of things going for it? So all we need is another governor. There's nothing wrong with the governor. He just wants to do things. So he needs to be careful. I could tell you things that he's done which are not right. If we're the belt of the Bible, then you have to change your understanding of God. If this is the belt, the buckle on the belt, then we need to change, but not the world, us. We need to change. What do? Nothing. Because that's all you can do. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from you, you can do nothing. And so we're the ones, not the world, us. You have to hate the world. You have to realize this world is not pure. There are sinners in the world. Do you know that? There are sinners in this world. And love them. Forgive them. Pray for them. Bless them. Do good for them. Never curse them. That's what we need. We need a church that's bold as a lion, that is not afraid, that isn't afraid of dying. It isn't afraid of suffering because you learn obedience through what you suffer. Right? Right? Now, I want to read on because this is so powerful. He's going to talk about this harlot. the judgment of the harlot. And let's see. She has this golden cup in her hand filled with abominations and unclean things of her fornication. Now, I want to read you these two words. First thing it says, abominations, and then it says unclean things. Things that are unclean. Abominations and unclean things of her fornication. So her fornication with church and state are united in many people's minds, even Christians. We want benefits from the government. I don't want any benefits from the government. Leave me alone. I'm like Israel. I just want to be free. I want to be free to do what I want to do. What? What? Yeah, whatever God says. I don't even know. I don't even care. Whatever he says, I'm going to do it. So we've been here some 40 years, right here at this location. We've been free. We've been here longer, but just this, we left the denomination because it was man-made. It was totally man-made. And all I had to do was read the Bible and realize, I don't agree with what the church I was part of, the denomination, it's just a man-made. And so they had man-made rules. And you're always under their laws and under their rules and under their obligations. Yeah, I don't like that. So we left it, and then we took out a 501c3 thing, because I didn't know anything about the law. I didn't know anything about it. But once you do that, now you're a slave of the state. What do you mean? So for 21 years, nothing happened. But then all of a sudden they sent me a notice because somebody painted the church and painted over the sign over there, so they thought we weren't a church anymore. And so then they wanted me to submit to them. I don't submit to anybody. I threw it in the trash. I'm a free man. I'm a free man, right? The sun shall set you free. You'll be free indeed. I did it. Well, then I got in trouble with the government because they said they sent me another letter. Even though I didn't respond to that first letter, it sent me another letter. I threw that in the trash too. I said, I'm immune. I'm under Jesus. He's my Lord. I don't obey anybody else. I don't have two gods. I don't have idolatry. I'm free. How many know that you can get in trouble when you say that? And so you'd have to have a sense of humor. And so I won't tell you all the story. It's interesting. But so since that's the case, then I've been there now, I don't know, 23 years, I think, maybe more, a lot of time. Anyway, I write them letters every year. You're a thief, you're robbing us, and you're stealing, and your things were given as an offering freely, and then you misappropriated that use. So therefore, you're guilty. And I just write it. I mean, I don't expect anything. I just write it. I'm suffering. And so I like suffering. And I laugh all the time because they're not my God. So my God will do anything I want him to do. No, he won't do anything I want him to do. I just tell him what I want. But then he is the one that will do that if I need it. If he's not in it, I'm not in it. Right? But what if you had one church that was free in the whole state? Well, then everyone else would want to know, how'd you do it? Because every church doesn't like the government as though you're a creature of the government and you're not under Jesus Christ, our Lord. Then that's idolatry. You can't have two gods. You can't have two heads. You can only have one. You understand what I just said? So what I said is, I only obey the government unless they get into something that's not part of their jurisdiction, part of their purview, part of their understanding of their law. We're in a limited government. We're in a government that can't do anything they want to do by willpower, arbitrary. We got a raid from Santa Ana, just as we got away from England. The little guy beat the big guy, and we only had 783, and we lost two people during that skirmish. Two people, and they lost 630 in the first 2 minutes, and 730 surrendered. So we almost had the whole amount of the 1,500 people that were there, and a few people went with Santa Ana to try to cross the bridge that we'd already burned before we got to the battlefield at San Jacinto. So because of that, I'm 80 years old anyway. I have nothing to lose. And so I'm having a ball. And because of that, you don't know if you're going to win or lose or anything like that, but I don't have any agenda anyway. I just do what God says. So since you're free, just say it. Just do it. Right? You never heard what I'm doing because you don't even know how we're even structured. You don't know how the thing is structured. In this church, there's only 3 members. So you are not responsible for anything. You're not. You can't be obligated because you're not part of the church. Because you're a spiritual people. Spiritual people are different. Spiritual people have only one God. Whereas I would have to then answer for my corporation. So I can do whatever I want. The ball's in my court. It's never in their court. Never. They don't even know who we are. They don't know what they do. We've been here for 40 years. They don't know who we are because somebody painted over a thing. I didn't even know about it. And so they drove and said, well, I guess it's not a church anymore. And so then, no, we're a church. I don't argue it. I just say it. I just say it. We're a church. We're called Emmanuel Church right now, but we used to have a different name. So we got rid of the ink. There's no more incorporation. And so they don't know what to do, and there's nothing they can do about it. So they're the ones that don't know what to do with what to do. Because, you know, political people like to know what their jurisdiction is. But we're under God's jurisdiction, a heavenly jurisdiction, right? But they don't know that. They don't even know who we are. But they all know we're a church. It's obvious. And they all know who we are. I won't tell you all the interesting stories. But all of this is a part of the harlot. I could tell you exactly why they're wrong, but I don't do that. So this idea of, this is the word in the Greek language. It's called B-D-E-L-U-G-M-A. Bedelugma. Which means hatred of God, licentiousness, impure, desecration of Jerusalem. So this idea of being an abomination to God has to do with Israel, has to do with Israel. And did you know that someday God is coming back to judge Israel? It's called Jacob's trouble. 1260 days. And since that's the case, then God said, you hated me without a cause. In other words, I loved you, but you didn't pay me back with love. But I do it by faith, right? In other words, you can do it by faith. You don't even have to even understand it. You don't have to even want to do it. You don't have to do anything. Because then God visited me personally 49 years ago when I came to Texas, 50 years ago. Because of that, then he visited me, and I fell in love with Jesus. I didn't have head knowledge. Now I had heart knowledge. I fell in love with him forever and ever and ever. And it changed everything in my life. So I wasn't just preaching things that were true. I was preaching things that were just in my head. In other words, I had all this language building, all ability and so on and so forth. But I didn't love God. I knew I didn't. I was always aware that I didn't. But one day, he saved me. And I've been saved ever since, and I never change. So this thing, I want to turn to Revelation 18:4. David, I don't know if you can bring that on the screen. 18:4. So this is what it says. 18, this is the main message. After these things, verse 1, I saw another angel coming down out of heaven, not that other angel, this is another angel, having great authority, and the earth was lighted up from his glory. And he cried with a strong, great voice, saying, Babylon the Great has fallen. Now, this is long before it happened. This was written 2,000 years ago or more. But it's already happening right now. And it has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit. And a prison of every unclean bird. Now, that you remember, it's an abomination, and I read that word to you, and then it has uncleanness to it. It has to be clean for God. Because of the wine of the anger of fornication, which all nations have drunk. So it's an international thing. Even the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth became rich from the power of her luxury. And I heard another voice out of heaven, third one, saying, my people, come out of her, that you may not share in her sins, and that you may not receive of her plagues. Because her sins joined together, something that God has separated, now they're joined, even up to heaven. And God remembers her unjust deeds. Give back to her as also she gave back to you, and double to her double, according to her works in the cup, which she mixed to her double. In other words, two things are mixed together, abomination and uncleanness. By what things she glorified herself and luxuriated by so much, give back to her torment and mourning. So this church, this abominable church, not a true church, I sit as a queen, this harlot says, and I am not a widow, and I do not see mourning at all. In other words, I'm okay. That's the lukewarm church. Because of this, in one day, her plagues shall come, death and mourning and famine. And she will be consumed with fire, the lake of fire. For the Lord God, judging her, is strong. And the kings of the earth will weep for her and will wail over her. These having fornicated and having luxuriated with her. When they see the smoke of her burning, standing from afar because of the fear of her torment, saying, woe, woe to the great city. Who is the great city? Babylon, the strong city, for in one hour your judgment came. Now, we're not just part of history. You are now a participant in history because it's happening right now. This is happening right now. You think America is gone? It's not at all. Not only that, it'll be stronger than ever before. Not only that, the things that you don't imagine will happen. And they'll surprise everybody. And people will go to jail. People will be imprisoned. People will be in deep trouble because they're part of the deep state that wished a long time ago to be not America. And I know the whole history of that. I know exactly how it happened. I know who did what and when and how. And so now you're about to see it right today, right here in Texas, not in some other state. I wouldn't flee to any other state. This is the state to be in. Why? Because we're the belt. We're the buckle on that belt. And so it's time for us to be free. Right? It's time for us to be free. Why? Because we're the only ones that can set Israel free. And we are the walls, and we are the bulwarks of Israel. That nation, a righteous nation, it's in the Bible, that nation is us. We're the only one. You can't think of any other nations that's like us, not even Israel. No one. We need to set them free. So we were never angry at the Catholic Church. We were only angry that the government decided to join herself together like Constantine did in the 4th century. And because of that, the Reformation is being overthrown for a second time, only it's not. It only looks like it, appears to be. You're about to see great and wonderful things happen right here. And this is the church needing to repent of all of her sins to say, Lord, we're completely zestos. We're completely hot. We're ready to go all the way with Jesus. Now, does anyone want to testify? Pastor, I heard the same thing. I knew the same thing. What you're talking about, I already believe. I don't know what you know, but whatever you know, I know something about that. Because it's going to happen. So, I have peace in the inside of me, which I think many of you do, that you're hearing something that can't be taken away, like Mary. What Mary wanted, sit down and listen to Jesus, it can't be taken away. Martha wanted to labor with her, and she said, Jesus, tell her to get to work here. We have a lot of work in the kitchen. She's not doing it. And he said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious over many things. One thing is needful, not want, not what you want, needful. He did that, and he said, it will never be taken from her. So that Mary, that one, is the one that needs to know, I need to hear Jesus. That's what we need to do today. Read the Bible every day. Read the Bible. You don't have to do it. I'm just saying that's what God's saying. That's up to you. I won't quiz anybody, but it's up to you. But if you don't, you won't have that growth that takes place when you have the Holy Ghost using you in powerful and mighty ways, and signs and wonders will be seen again. Not scrapbooking it from the old thing. This is something new. This is a wake-up church that suddenly realizes we got to go all the way, not most of the way. Thou almost persuadest me, Felix, and then his successor said to him, thou almost persuadest me. And that was then another one that was the king Agrippa. He said that. You know, because he was married to Bernice in the book of Acts, the last chapter of Acts. Read the last chapter. He was married to Bernice and she was Jewish. So he knew all about what Paul was saying, and Paul went free. He was before Caesar, and when he was before Caesar, he was free to do whatever he wanted to do, no one hindering. That's freedom. That's true freedom. Because religious liberty is the key to all your liberties. Every liberty you have will die immediately if you lose that. That's all we need. Just freedom. You're free. Do what you wish. Be free. Freedom of speech is gone. Freedom of press is gone. Everything is gone. You don't realize you've been stripped of everything. All your wealth, all your religion, everything will be gone. So, just do what Jesus says. What? Just come to here. Don't miss. Because I'm about to say a lot of things that I have never said, but I'll say them all. Because God is still in charge of everything. So Israel has a bright future. We have a bright future. And don't worry, America will never disappear. It's a righteous nation. And God raised this up in 1836. A country, 9 years later, we became a state of the United States of America. People are saying, then don't do this and don't do that. They don't know anything they're talking about. Because you have to ask God about all these things. So nothing is withheld from us. You're about to be blessed, even on earth, as it is in heaven. It can't be done in heaven when you're in heaven, because then you can't do it on earth. So you're on earth now, and you want to see, as in heaven, so on earth. Here we are, on earth. So the best is yet to come. You haven't seen what's going to happen. You will see that new wine in heaven, so on. That's all in the future. But right now, the last thing that's going to happen is the judgment of Israel. Only it's not the judgment. Everyone thinks they're being punished because they believed in good works and all that. That's not. God has never bothered by that. He's only interested in one thing. He's only interested in one thing. And that's our role, is to bless Israel. How do you do it? By just having the signs and wonders. You don't have to do anything. God will do it anyway. He wants Israel to come back, and there'll be a bright future for Israel, because we are that righteous nation that the Bible is talking about in the book of Psalms. And so everything is yet to come. Now you're part of history. You're not just observing it. You're not just reading about the past. You are history. You're making your own way. Paul was able to then witness to Jewish people, and they understood him. Some places half hated him, half believed in him, wherever he went. But the half believed him is the remnant. And we're going to be also a remnant. So now God is about to do something powerful. And I know we promised this way back in 9, when we preached about the woman. What was it about? Where's Clay? Is Clay here? Clay, what was that? 2009? 10? 10. Okay, in the 10, we read this thing, and I elaborated on it, and I thought, wow, this is going to be our glory day. You know, we're going to go somewhere. And then nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. And Clay and I have many talks, and I'm amazed that you've stayed all these years. because it's so easy to leave. We don't even follow people up. You go whenever you want. It's just a hospital. But I believe the best is yet to come. And I believe that what we did then was waken people up. And now you can see that God is about to do something so glorious you can't even believe it. So we have 9 pastors right now in this church. And they're powerful. They know the gospel, for sure. And you could be one of them. You're being trained to be one of them. It's powerful. Anybody could. And so I think that's part of our ministry, is to start outreach to the world that's waiting for the truth that will set you free forever and ever. Amen? Amen. It's not pride. It's just simply being a nothing. The only thing you can brag about is I was a nothing. I was a really good nothing. So you're good for nothing. Oboe, close in prayer.